Acts chapter number 3 is where we'll be taking our reading from this morning. Man, I'm glad all of you showed up to the house of the Lord this morning, but I'm glad that God's Holy Spirit is here. Man, I'm telling you what, I love it when He shows up, when He takes control of our services. That's when we can have church. Y'all can fire me any day of the week, but if you ever don't let the Holy Spirit take control, then you're going to be in trouble. We'll just put it like that. Looking forward to reading in God's Word this morning with you in Acts chapter number 3. Very, very familiar event that happened in the Bible. And I struggle with saying stories in the Bible because I don't want you to ever think when we read these that this is some kind of make-believe something here. This is real stuff that happened. Man, I believe that this is the true living Word of God, and I believe everything that's written in it. Some of it I can't explain to you. Some of it I don't even know. So there's probably parts of it that I've never even read. But can I just go ahead and tell you, if I had never even read it, I still believe it? Because this is the true living Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I know I'm nothing without you. God, I'm so excited to be in your house this morning. And thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for allowing your Spirit to show up this morning. God, help us to give you free reign of our service. God, I love the singing and I love the way that it prepares our hearts for the message, God. But I believe that you've sent this word for us this morning, God. And I pray that you'll help us to chew it. God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts with it. Help us to be excited about the word just as we are emotional about the singing and as we are, we feel the fire from the singing. Help us to also to love your word and let your word speak to us. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray for one here today that's lost. I pray that today will be the day that they come and receive salvation, the best friend that they ever had, those treasures unseen that this world is desiring, but they just don't know what they're looking for yet. God, help us as Christians that we'll go out and share it with them. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Acts chapter number 3, let's begin reading with verse number 1. We're going to read about the first 16 verses, and we may take them in little short chunks here. So verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Now, as we read verses 1 and 2, we can see that Peter and John, they're going over to the temple. And again, the Bible says here that it was at the ninth hour. And according to the custom at this time, this would have been at about 3 p.m. in the middle of the day. And this was a everyday thing for these guys. This was normal for them to go over into the temple and to pray. This is something that was not, it wasn't a secret mission that they were sent on. This wasn't a special mission that they were sent on. These guys were going to the temple to pray. Now, I want you to know, as we continue reading this story here, or we continue reading this event that happened in the Bible, as we continue reading this, you're going to see that God does something amazing in a man's life. And you all know this event in the Bible, so I'm not going to give it away just yet. But as we get into this, you're going to see that God does something amazing. And I want you to realize that it just happened when Peter and John was doing their normal, everyday thing. See, you know, I believe sometimes that we as Christians, we think that God has to wake us up in the middle of the night, and that God has to shake us, and that God has to just pour somebody on our heart. And yes, that does happen sometimes. There's times in my life that God has woke me up in the middle of the night, somebody that's on my heart and on my mind, and I'll pray for them right then and ask God if there's something else that I'm supposed to be doing around that situation. But sometimes we go along our day and we don't do anything to point others to Jesus Christ, because God hasn't given us that secret special mission in the middle of the night. He didn't wake us up in the middle of night with just almost feeling like a tremble. But you want to notice something here, that as Peter and John, as they were just going, doing their normal thing, that God put somebody in their path that needed to hear about Jesus Christ. As you go from day to day, I don't care if God has shook you in the middle of the night. I don't care if God has woke you up, if God has just pounded somebody on your heart. Now, if he does that, you better respond and go where God has sent you. But every single day, everywhere that we go, just our normal daily walk, God has got people in our path that we need to be pointing to Jesus Christ. Don't overlook those opportunities. Don't overlook what God puts in your life. We all say that we're born again, that we're Christians, that we're children of God, and that we believe that God orders our steps. Well, if God orders our steps, he's going to put you in the right place at the right time. Pay attention to where God has you each and every moment of the day. Verse number 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, as Peter and John go into the temple, here we got a beggar sitting here. And I don't believe that this gate was called Beautiful for no reason. I believe that this was a beautiful place. And here sat an old beggar here on the side of the street. Here sat an old beggar here at Beautiful Gate. And as they go into the Beautiful Gate headed to the temple, I believe that this guy looks up. And actually, the Bible doesn't even say he looks up. He just asking alms of them. And he's sitting there begging, and he's wanting them to give them something. And you know, Peter and John could have very easily crossed on the other side of the street. And they could have very easily said, who in the world brings an old beggar down here to the Beautiful Gate? Who brings somebody down here and sets them in the way going into the temple? But as they were going that way, and as he asking alms, I want you to look what he said to him. He said, I want you to look on us. I believe that this man could have had his head dropped, that this man could have been looking down because of shame that was in his life. Do you think that anybody that's out here begging today really thought that they wanted to be there in their life? Do you think that anybody that's battling an addiction this morning really desired to be there in their life, that anybody that is struggling with the burdens and the cares of this life, that their goal was to be where they're at? But you know what? Sometimes, so many times in my life, I find myself passing on the other side. I find myself not heeding to what God has put in my path. I find myself not having the love and compassion for people that I should have. But I'm glad as Peter and John walked by that guy that day, and he asking alms of them, that he said, look on us. You know what he said? He said, I want you to pick your head up. You may feel like you're unworthy. You may have shame on you. You may have unholiness on you. You may have all kinds of burdens and stuff in your life. But I want you to look up, because things may be fixing to change. Look up. Things may be fixing to change. What you've got to understand is when we pass these people, when God puts people in our lives and he puts people in our path, that we, now listen to this, we through Jesus Christ have the power to change their life. Let's continue reading. Who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple? Y'all pray for them. I'm going to run out of breath this morning. Hallelujah. Who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms? And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He didn't walk by and kick dirt on him. He didn't walk by and say, you know what? You put yourself in that position, now you get yourself out. Anybody ever said that? I have. Anybody ever said, look where they're at. It's because of choices that they have made. Yes, some of it really is. Some of it, they are suffering the consequences of choices that they had in their life. But you know, if it not for the grace of God, if it not for the mercy of God, I could have made those very same choices and been sitting in the very same place. I'm glad that God saved me at a young age and kept me from all of that. But I'm also glad that some people that have been there, that God spread mercy and grace on their life and he changed their life, just like he's fixing to change this man here in just a minute. Man. Church, we don't have anything to hold our heads up but Jesus Christ. The only thing that we need to be proud of is that Jesus Christ lives in our hearts and in our lives. And when God puts people in our path and God orders our steps and God has someone in our lives that we need to help, we need to be sure that we don't pass by on the other side. Verse number 4, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. I'm going to get to the message here in just a minute. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I want you to know that that's some of our favorite words that we love to say, ain't it? When we bump into somebody on the road and they want a little money, you know, and I know it's kind of scary sometimes, don't get me wrong, but you putting your groceries up out there in Food Line parking lot and somebody comes up and says, hey, you got a little bit of change you can spare? Hey, I know it's a little bit scary sometimes because you don't know what people, but one of my favorite things to respond is, man, I don't even carry no cash. I ain't got nothing but a card. You know what? That gets rid of them, don't it? You got no cash, they go away. Peter and John, as they were passing this guy asking alms, they looked at him and they said, silver and gold have I none. Sometimes I actually say it, man, I ain't got no cash. Sorry, I can't help you. And that gets me out of that sticky situation. That gets me out of that uncomfortable situation. Look, y'all are looking at me real holy this morning, but y'all do it too. Yeah, y'all looking at me real holy, preacher. I can't believe y'all do that. Hey, man, I ain't got no cash. I can't help you. But Peter and John, as they passed, and this guy asking alms, he was asking for money. And they looked at him, and instead of saying, silver and gold have I none, and being almost happy about it, I believe they looked at him and they were thrilled that they didn't have any money. I believe that they said, you know what? Today is your lucky day because I don't have any money. Today is your lucky day because you're out here seeking an alms. You're out here seeking for something, and you don't know exactly what you're seeking for yet. But I want to tell you something. Today's your lucky day because I don't have a bit of cash on me. And you know what? Every time that somebody's asked me for cash and I said, I don't have any cash, they drop their head and walk away. I got rid of them. They're not happy. But what they didn't know is that, like this guy right here, he looks at him and says, silver and gold have I none. Today is your lucky day because I don't have any money. Because I want you to see what happens next. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What this guy didn't know is silver and gold was what he was asking for. He was asking for a little token, a little bit of money. And his lucky day come because Peter and John didn't have any money, but they had Jesus Christ to share with him. Church, I want you to know that there's people all around us every single day that they think they know what they need from us. They think they know that they need us to help them in some way. We get phone calls all the time in the church office, people needing power bills paid, or especially when the heating season comes up. We need a little oil. We need a little something. You know what? And some of those needs we're able to reach out and help with. But I want you to know something. If those people really knew what they needed, they'd be calling and saying, hey, we need Jesus Christ. So you know what our responsibility is sometimes when we find it necessary to help, and sometimes when we find that we do go and help, we don't need to just take silver and gold, but we need to take Jesus Christ and watch their life be changed right there in an instant. Silver and gold have I none. Today's your lucky day, man, because I don't have any money, but I'm going to give you a little bit of Jesus. Verse number 7, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Something that money couldn't buy. Treasures unseen. Had no idea that they were going to sing that this morning. But you know what? People are all up and down Main Street yesterday, especially if it's still pouring rain. It may not be right now. But people are all up and down Main Street. And some of them called family back home because they're up here in Mayberry, Viston. They're tourists of Mayberry. Hallelujah for them. That's all I got to say. But as they called their friends and neighbors back home, said, you just ain't going to believe what I bought up here in Mayberry. I bought a little statue. It looks like Andy Griffith. Ain't that wonderful? Look at this. Woo, yeah. And I love the Andy Griffith Show. But, man, they're just so excited about that. And all this wonderful stuff and all these things that are being sold down there. But I want to tell you something. There is no treasure like Jesus Christ. Money can't buy it. I tell you what, though, the price was paid a long time ago on a cross at Calvary. One of the most expensive gifts that we've ever had, the most expensive gift that I've ever had, was given on a cross over 2,000 years ago. And he, leaping up, and stood and walked and entered in with them to the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Everybody got to looking and they knew who it was. They were amazed that this guy was walking around and that he was leaping, that he was praising God. Man, it drew attention. Hey, man, that's the guy that sat down at the beautiful gate. Well, you want to know something? If Peter and John had given him $500 and said, here, we want you to take this, nobody would have paid any attention to that because money will sooner or later run out. That guy probably went sitting that day and he said, I need to make $5. I need to make a dot, whatever it was, that I need to make this much money to have my needs met for today. But I want to tell you something. Without one drop of money, his need was met for all eternity, sitting right there at Beautiful Gate that day. I'm glad to know that all of my needs are met, that all of my sins have been washed away thanks to Jesus Christ who hung on a cross for me. Verse number 11. What a wonderful work. What a wonderful work that Peter and John done at Beautiful Gate. Man, how God blessed them that day. How God used them in a mighty and an awesome way just because they were willing to heed, just because they were willing to pay attention. Verse number 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, I can see him just holding them. I believe he's probably about picking them both up. Here, boys, I love y'all, man. You just don't know what you've done for me. You've changed my life. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Man, they're just like, I cannot believe that this is what's happened. In verse number 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. You know what, church? God has blessed us, and God blesses our steps, and God blesses so many facets of our life, and God uses us, and man, and the world, sometimes they look at us, and they can't understand how we are the way that we are. And that's if you're being peculiar, as God has instructed us to. I hope this is okay, but man, I'm telling you what, for a lady to speak up in the house of the Lord and talk about losing her son, but how God is still good in her life. That's mind-blowing, ain't it? That's not normal. That's God, is what that is. Some of y'all been in some of the same situations. Some of y'all been through some terrible things. Some of you been through some things that are heavy. But you know what? Just by your presence being here today, you're telling me that God is still good, and I know God is still in control. These men, everybody was running to them. They couldn't understand what they had done. They couldn't understand the wonderful work that had been done. And they come and they're looking at Peter and John, and they're just, oh, you're so wonderful and you're so great. And they look at them and said, why are you looking at us? What about us? Are you? Because what you don't understand is it's not us. God just, let's continue reading verse number 13. Lord, I'm going to get tore up right here. Y'all just hang on. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. I want to tell you something. Some of us were in a bad shape. Some of us were in a place that nobody could understand where we are. And you say, well, preacher, you keep telling us that you were saved at the age of 7, that you didn't get into a lot of things that this world had to offer. No, and it was only by the grace of God, nothing to do with me. But let me tell you something. I was bound for the same hell as every drunkard that's out here today. I was bound for the same hell of everybody of every sin that you can think of that was out there today. You know what? I was in a bad place in my life, but I'm so thankful that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, let's look at it, has glorified his son Jesus. He allowed his son Jesus Christ to leave the portals of glory. He allowed you, hey, he's been there from the beginning just like God. He was there before the foundations of the world just like God, and Jesus Christ left the portals of glory. He came to live this human race just like I did, just like I'm here on this earth, except he lived his perfectly. He was the spotless Lamb of God here on this earth, and that God glorified himself through his son Jesus, that on an old rugged cross, that my sin debt was paid, that on an old rugged cross, my shame was wiped away, that on an old rugged cross, my condemnation was wiped away, that on an old rugged cross, the way was made for my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, I'm so thankful that God glorified himself through his son Jesus Christ. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and our fathers has glorified his son Jesus, who you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. Man, they thought they were taking his life, but man, he just freely laid it down for us when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore, we are witnesses. Verse number 16. In his name, through faith, in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is in him, is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Verse number 16. And his name, through faith, in his name, hath he made this man strong. You know, what a blessing that God poured out on Peter and John as they went to the temple that day. You know what we all say every single day, and we think in our hearts and our lives, man, God has blessed me. God has blessed my health. God has blessed my family. God's blessed my home. God's blessed my finances. And you go, oh, there you go, talking about money, preacher. We knowed you'd get around to money. Well, you know what? It's amazing how much it costs to live every single day. And sometimes it don't look like ends are going to meet, but God always makes a way. That absolutely amazes me. But we say that God has blessed all of these things in our life. I look at my kids, and man, how God has blessed me with three wonderful children. They're wonderful about 30% of the time. They're autumns the rest of the time. God has blessed us with so much. He's blessed their abilities. He's put their hand of blessing on them. And look, when Peter and John had this blessing poured out on them, look what they did. They took the blessing that God gave them and that God used them for, and they said, now watch this. Let me point you to Jesus with it. What are we doing with the blessings that God's given us? Hey, you say God's blessed you with children. Okay, and when somebody tells you how beautiful your children are, do you take that and point it to Jesus? When God tells you you're good at, or somebody tells you you're good at your job, whatever, do you take that and point it to Jesus? If we're not careful sometimes, we go, yep, I am. Peter and John could have said, yeah, guys, look at us. Look what we did. But they said, why are you looking at me? Don't look at me. I want you to look at God who glorified himself through Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to see. Hey, some of y'all have got abilities that just, y'all all have abilities that are just, you may not even know what your ability is yet. I'm still looking for mine. We've all got things that people look and they say, well, that's just amazing that you can do that. Take that and point it to Jesus Christ. Take that and point them to Jesus. You know what? Let's look at John chapter number 3 and verse number 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. There has got to be a time and point in our life where we realize that everything that is good, listen, all good and perfect gifts. Come on, feed it back to me. Yeah, come on, you got it, preacher. Yeah, come from the Father. Your gifts. I just want to make sure y'all still with me. I got excited. I want y'all to get excited with me. Here we go. Everything good in your life has come from God. So take that and point people to him for it. Take that and say, look, it ain't about me. It ain't about anything I've done. When people come to you and they say, Shane, I didn't know you before you were saved. I heard a little bit of your testimony. But when people come and they want to tell you about the old Shane, just like I'm sure that people wanted to come and remind this lame man, hey, you remember that day you sitting down there at the beautiful gate? I hope that somewhere in his life that lame man didn't go, yeah, and then I got up and walked. I hope that somewhere along the line the story didn't change. I hope your story hadn't changed from God changing your life to, yeah, I've straightened my life up. Because I want to tell you something. I believe that guy that set the beautiful gate, I believe when people come and said, you know, you remember you used to sit there and beg. You used to sit there and ask an alms of all of us when you come in here. I believe that he's stopping right there and said, hang on just a minute. Yeah, but do you remember the day that Peter and John passed my way and that Peter and John said, look on me, and that God changed my life in an instant and I got up and I began leaping and running and praising God? Do you remember that day? I tell you what, we need to remember what God's done for us. Remember where you are when this world stops and says, hey, Shane, do you remember that time that you did this? Hey, Shane, do you remember that time that you said that? You need to stop them and say, yeah, but let me remind you of another day when Jesus Christ spoke to my heart and I responded to that call. And right then and there, and in a moment, in an instant that I can't even explain to you, God changed my life. He changed my eternity. He took a nobody and he made somebody out of them, and he gave me a home in heaven, and one day I'm going to be in his presence. Remind them of what God's done for you. Jennifer, if you will come to the piano this morning, I don't believe I can handle no more. Look, Peter and John was blessed with an awesome opportunity. Church, I want to ask you this morning, with all the blessings that God's poured out on our lives, with all the things that God has done in our lives, how many of us are taking those things and pointing others to God with them? Listen, I'll share a little story with you. I'll let you know who I really am. Just the fact that I become the manager of the store that I run was crazy. I don't have a college education. I got some college. I ain't just dumb. I don't have a college education. Amen. Keep working, Becker. I don't have a college education, and most of our managers have college education. It was just worked out by God. That's the only way I know how to say it. And you know what? I remember the first year that I went to meet with my bosses at my forecast, which I just had to do this past week. I sat down in there, and from the day that God allowed me to become the manager there, I prayed and I said, God, I said, whether we have success or whether we have failure, this is yours, and you're going to get all the glory. God, this business is yours. I'm not smart enough to run it. So, God, whatever happens here, it's yours, and you're going to get all the glory. I went to my first forecast meeting and sat down with president of the company, CFO of the company, some really important people. And I said, look, I want to tell y'all, first of all, that I appreciate the opportunity to manage one of your locations. But I also just want to say that God blessed me into this. They kind of looked at me kind of weird, and it was a little bit hard for me to spit out. But you know what? Since then, I mean, in my mind, I still think, yeah, God, you're doing this. But I'm not as boastful about what God's doing anymore. I'm not as boastful about, hey, God, you're doing. You know what? I've tried to take it on my own. I've tried to say, look, I'm doing a pretty good job at this. I about got this figured out. I really don't. See, and I just wanted to use that for an example for something because, listen, when we were first saved, we gave God glory for everything in our life. If you were able to get up and tie your shoes that morning, you said, God, thank you that I can bend over and tie my shoes. If you weren't able to tie your shoes, you said, God, thank you that I got these slip-on shoes that I can put on my feet. God, thank you that I got up this morning. You get in your car and you'd be going down the road, and if the sun was shining, you'd say, God, thank you for this beautiful sunshine. If it was raining, you'd say, God, thank you for the rain. I know that you know we need it. If it was cold, you'd say, God, thank you for the heat that I have in my house. If it was hot, you'd say, God, thank you for the air conditioning. I'm talking about the little things. You'd see a little bird fly across the road, and you'd say, God, that's a beautiful bird that you made. And then you know what? We get to a place that we kind of get calloused. We get church hurt. We get family hurt. We get sin. We get different things that come into our life. And all of a sudden, it's all about us again instead of all about giving God glory. Church, this message may be 100% for me. And if it is, I need it. But I believe that sometimes we get so caught up in this rat race of life. We get so caught up in our daily routines and the troubles and the struggles and the trials. And we stop giving God glory. We stop looking unto Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Preacher, I know about that change you're talking about. I have been there. I know without a doubt that Jesus Christ saved my soul. 100%. Nobody ever taught me out of it. But preacher, I'm kind of like you're talking about. I've kind of took my eyes off giving all the glory to Him. Would you just pray for me? Just slip up your hand. That's all I'll do. Hands all over the congregation. Preacher, pray for me. You can put them right back down. You might be here and you might be saying, preacher, I'm lost. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. But He has spoken to my heart this morning. I know without a doubt that I need to come and accept Jesus Christ. I don't know if I got the courage to do it today or not, but I do not want to die and go to hell. I want to have this life-changing experience that the Bible tells us about. Would you just slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. Just slip up your hand. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. See your hand. You can put it right back down. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, I pray that you'll forgive me for not giving you all the glory with my life. God, I pray that you'll forgive me that I'm not looking for those opportunities as I go. God, I pray that you'll help us as a church, God, to be what you'd have us to be. God, I pray that you'll help us in everything that we do that will give you glory. God, I pray for the ones that raised their hands this morning that they were lost. God, give them strength, give them courage, God. God, help them to step out and accept you before it's everlasting too late. Have your will and way the remainder of this invitation. In Jesus' name.